Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net and the fan text line where you can chime in. It's brought to you by Egger, Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say, there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Love interacting with our texters. Also pointing out, Benny Cunningham, number 89, is also a good high for the weather today. Sean?
Next time it's 89 and I'm producing, I'll include him.
Patrick Queenberg's number 6. I am dreading the days that we have 6-degree weather in like the middle of January, middle of December. Typically, we get that like one day in February. The wind chill's like -5 degrees. He's one of the first people to speak to the media at Steelers training camp on report day. And according to Brooke Pryor, Queen said that he was surprised by all the Steelers' moves this offseason. He woke up to a text that said, wow, with the eyeball emojis, and thought he got traded for a second, saying sometimes it comes at a cost and you lose great people, but then you also gain great people. He also said that he thought that when he saw the Ramsey trade, that maybe he was getting traded. Patrick Queen stays and is going to be needed to be a significant, which I've said, I think, 10 times today, significant.
Someone's keeping track.
Someone is on the text line. Has said that I've said it 9 times. Because that's the case. There's a lot of huge pieces on this year's team. I've said it as many times as Malzi hit straight threes. Because if these types of players don't perform at the way we think they should or better, this is going to be a long season. So Patrick Queen last year was 5th of all linebackers in snaps. He was 13th of all linebackers in pressures. I don't rely on PFF for everything. I do think that they're a good tool and a good resource. Like, PFF should be used to enhance an argument or enhance the value of a player. Not so much with stats like pass rush win rate taking precedent and being more of a higher rated category to use for argument's sake, whether it be defensive player of the year, first team all pro, whatever. Then let's say sacks, tackles for loss, quarterback hits, stuff like that. Patrick Queen, according to PFF last year, had an overall grade of 58.5. That was, Sean, 125th out of 189 linebackers last year.
Maybe that's why he's worried about getting traded, huh?
Probably. Because, yeah, Minka didn't perform very well. He ultimately was dealt out. And another thing that I worry about with Patrick Queen is coverage. He's not that great of a coverage linebacker. 122nd out of 189 linebackers, below average, a 53.8 coverage grade.
But he's still ahead of Cam Hayward in the NFL top 100.
Yeah, so voted on by the players, by the way. So the players think that Patrick Queen is better than Cam Hayward.
That's weird.
Disrespect and shade thrown at Cam Hayward.
You would say, oh, that's a reputation for Queen because he was so good prior to that. But wouldn't Hayward have an incredible reputation?
So what do we think that Patrick Queen is so good at, Sean, right? Run defense. He's very good at helping to stop the run. Well, if you watched every snap last year, it didn't seem like Patrick Queen was that great at stopping the run. Well, PFF agreed. Out of his overall grade and his coverage grade, of the 189 linebackers, the worst grade that PFF gave Patrick Queen was in run defense. 56.8, 146 out of 189 linebackers last year. Patrick Queen was brought here on what some people thought would be a more rich deal than he ultimately signed, but still an expensive contract. One of the highest paid players on the team, one of the highest paid players on defense. And he records a well below average run defense grade. That's what he was brought in here to do. Stop the run. Fixed communication, wear the green dot, be somebody that this team could depend on against quality opponents coming over from the Ravens, understands the division, grass greener on the other side. And I don't think we've talked enough about how Patrick Queen has not been able to live up to the billing and that this is a huge year two for him.
I'm guessing Landon Roberts probably graded out much better than he did. Certainly you would figure against the run.
Well, yeah, Landon Roberts, who ultimately went to the Raiders, had a much better season last year against the run. 5th best linebacker of those 189 with a 90.4 grade. Now, his coverage rate is not good. It's below average at 50.9. But the overall grade for Landon Roberts was 77.2, 22nd in all of football. They let Landon Roberts go, and they ultimately decide to bring in Malik Harrison at middle linebacker. Malik Harrison of the Ravens. They're just deciding to pick off linebackers from the Ravens and decide we'll just throw them in to the Steelers scheme and system, and they'll work fine. Malik Harrison had an overall grade of 50.7. Run defense, he was okay. Above average at 68. Coverage grade at 30.6. So you better hope that Peyton Wilson is going to be able to take that year two jump, which I do believe he's able to do, because Patrick Queen is even going to need some help and need some assistance. And frankly, he's had moments. He's done well at times. Remember that game against the Ravens? He had the forced fumble, stuff like that. But Landon Roberts, it was right there to bring him back. So Patrick Queen, one of the first to report for camp, he is back in the fold and in need of a big year two, or else he might end up being somebody like Minka that could end up going. 412-928-9370. Here is Ken in Mount Washington to chime in. What's going on, Ken?
Hey, I'm just calling in, chiming in here. I know it's a Pittsburgh radio talk show.
Yes,
and there's a lot of homers here. But what are these people drinking? You got them drinking the Kool-Aid that they're going to the Super Bowl?
Ken, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. There's somebody that's drinking it. I don't know what spiked that Kool-Aid, but I don't believe it.
Yeah, but the one guy that called prior to me said that Super Bowl, we're going to the Super Bowl. I'm telling you what, they're not even thinking and talking about the team that's going to win the division, which is the Baltimore Ravens. Well, nobody's talking about them. They got a running game that we can't stop.
I think we all think, Ken, that they're going to win the division. Like, I think the ultimate highest ceiling possible for the Steelers is win the division to be able to beat out Baltimore. I don't think they're better than Baltimore. They're not better than Baltimore offensively. They're not better than Baltimore defensively.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is true. But the other thing, too, is if Joe Burrow has the year he might have, just like you're saying, Aaron Rodgers, if he has the year he might have, you know, it's about a lot of might-haves. Go with the facts. The facts is the Ravens that are going to win the division, and Pittsburgh people just won't accept it.
Do you think they'll finish second or third in the division, Ken?
Who is?
The Steelers.
Second or third? They're probably going to finish tied with the Bengals for second.
Tied with the Bengals. Thank you, Ken. Cincinnati right now has a defense that they're not paying their best player in Trey Hendrickson. He is currently in Miami after training in Cincinnati. He went to Miami basically to just hang out because the Bengals will not guarantee more than the first year. Wake up, Bengals. Notice the TJ Watt contract. Notice the Myles Garrett contract. Not saying you have to offer that, but guarantees past the first year. That is reality now. You know, Cincinnati, get over it. Their ownership group just doesn't want to do it. Well, too bad. You want to keep good players? That's what you have to do. That's what you did with Burrow. That's what you did with Chase. Trey Hendrickson's a really good pass rusher. He's not Watt. He's not Parsons. He's not Garrett. He's in that next tier. He's a $35 million a year player. 33 to 35. Shamar Stewart, they won't give guarantees in his rookie contract that are natural to what you are supposed to get as a rookie. So Cincinnati's got their own issues. They won't fix their own defense that they got rid of Pratt, their leading tackler, last year. Their defensive line has been shifted and not in a good way. And they can't even get their first-round pick signed. The Bengals might score 30 a year. They score 30 a game. They might give up 35 a game. So I'm not that confident that the Bengals are going to be this team that just runs through the NFL, because they're not going to be able to stop anything unless they get those two situations figured out. They're just not.
I'm still baffled by the Shamar Stewart situation. It just seems like a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, they don't want to give him like guarantees that have been worked into previous contracts for players that are, you know, typical guarantees. They want him to basically earn them like incentives, I believe.
Second round picks are now getting guarantees by and large.
It's just Cincinnati, the way they do business, they have to change, they have to adapt, and they're frankly not willing to do that right now, which is just honestly flat out ridiculous. This should not be something. It's also a bad first impression on potential rookies that come in down the line. Everybody thinks that there's a stigma around Cincinnati anyway, that they're cheap, that they don't pay players, that they don't do good enough to be able to enhance facilities, stuff like that. Sure, they paid Burrow. Sure, they paid Chase. They had to. I mean, if you don't, what type of messaging does that send? Cincinnati, I'm very high on their offense, but their defense brings them back to the pack where I think they might win 10 games. But I still like the Steelers' chances against the Bengals because they've done decent against Burrow. They've kept that offense in check. And as long as they can score against a put-together ragtag defense, they got a good chance. Now, to pay off the tease, Ben Roethlisberger thinks that this season could be one for the ages. Ben, a two-time Super Bowl champion who was beaten looking for a third against Aaron Rodgers, thinks that A-Rod, if he does not take the Steelers to the Super Bowl, the season is a bust. This is On Football and with Ben and Spence.
Like, are we going to find a way to still go, you know, 500 with all this talent? Yeah. Or is it? Are we just going to bury people and win a Super Bowl?
I have no idea. I mean, this is when you build when Coach Tomlin built this team. There's no way that they're saying that we're like 500 or that's not even like on the table right now.
Yeah, yeah.
This team right now is built, and what Coach Tomlin has built is a Super Bowl or bust team, in my opinion.
I agree.
And so, I don't want to sit there and say that anything short of that is a failed season, because that seems like that's unfair pressure. But it also feels like that's what they've built for. And so, it's not about, you know, just getting to the playoffs. Like, and it's not even just just winning a playoff game. Yes, that's a step up, and that's great. But that can't be what is the final goal of this team. It can't be that. This team is built right now to go to a Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl. And so it needs to happen.
Is it? I mean, outside of Tom Brady, quarterbacks in their 40s don't win in the playoffs outside of going to the Super Bowl with a lot of defensive spending where the league has shifted to offense, the rules have shifted to offense, offensive coaches typically are the ones that are winning. Look at Sirianni, look at Andy Reid, look at just some of these teams that are the ones typically at the top of the NFL. There's a lot of offensive coaches. Now, sure, you could throw McDermott out there. You could throw Harbaugh out there. You could throw Tomlin. Tomlin also has not won a playoff game in 8 years. Most of the teams that win and win championships and go far have offensive coaches, or they have a coordinator that runs an electrifying offense. Ben Johnson with the Lions last year, with Campbell more of a defensive guy. Dan Quinn in Washington. Cliff Kingsbury, former head coach, good offensive coordinator with Jaden Daniels. Joe Brady in Buffalo with Sean McDermott. A good scheme around Lamar in Baltimore. We don't know what the scheme is with Arthur Smith. We know that they want to run the ball heavily. Is it because they don't have the personnel yet, or at least they haven't, that we truly know or don't know what the Arthur Smith offense is? Like, I don't think Arthur Smith's offense is one that stacks up scheme-wise with motions, shifts, everything that comes with it, with the likes of Ben Johnson, Joe Brady, Andy Reid, Sirianni, those type of guys, Ben Johnson. That's why it's another prove-it type of year to determine what the case is with Arthur Smith and adding Jonnu Smith, DK Metcalf, how he best utilizes those players. But Super Bowl or bust? Sean, this is more like win a playoff game or bust. Super Bowl?
So, yeah, I would say talent-wise, if you're looking at the Steelers, what's the absolute best-case scenario, even if you're on the positive side of things, of where they rank talent-wise in the AFC? Fourth best? Best-case scenario?
Best-case scenario. They're not better than Kansas City. They're not better than Buffalo. And I would say, they're not better than the Ravens.
Right.
The rosters of all three of those teams are better than theirs.
Agreed. Even if you say, hey, I think they're better than the Broncos, which is iffy. I think they're better than the Texans, which
is
iffy.
Houston's good. Houston's got a better quarterback than them.
But you could make that argument if you see everything working out well and you think Rodgers will have a good season and these additions on defense will make a difference. You could say they're the fourth best team in the AFC. So how realistic is it to think, if that's the case, that they're going to find a way to knock off or get past or be the last team standing over those other three teams and avoid an upset along the way as well? I just don't see that happening. And that's why I don't think you can realistically say Super Bowl or bust. That's just putting expectations way too high for this team. There's no reason to believe. I mean, when was the last time they won a playoff game? Now you think that they're going to win potentially three playoff games? That seems very unreasonable. Even as we said, the fact that you can be overly optimistic this time of year, that's just not a realistic way of looking at things.
Yeah, I mean, look at how it turned out in Atlanta. I thought Kyle Pitts was supposed to be a star under Arthur Smith. I thought that Bijan Robinson, who had some really good years in Atlanta, was supposed to flourish even more than he did in that system with Arthur Smith. Play action offense, utilize tight ends. I mean, Drake London's a good receiver. It feels like, at least to me, and I might be wrong, they didn't utilize him well enough either. And when the pieces were all in place with Derrick Henry, a Hall of Famer, and Ryan Tannehill was just really good in that scheme, and we know how good A.J. Brown is, they had a lot of really good pieces around them. Will that be the same with this Steeler team with Arthur Smith? I have my doubts, but I still think that it's good enough to be able to get them potentially a wild card spot. But in that case, you're playing matchups. If you're going to Buffalo, the final year of that stadium, extra juice, Josh Allen coming off an MVP, good chance he's going to go for another. Or Lamar, I mean, Lamar in the last two games that he played the Steelers have typically had Lamar's number. They have owned the Ravens over the last 5 years. Yeah, that flipped on that night in Baltimore when Lamar and the Ravens, despite a Minkah Fitzpatrick interception, beat the Steelers handily and then whooped them in the playoffs. Derrick Henry, the running game, 300 yards on the field for the final 10 minutes their offense was against the Steelers defense. So Super Bowl or bust, how about win a playoff game first and then we'll talk? Like, I'm sure the mentality from Ben always was win the Super Bowl or bust when he was the quarterback, just because of the pieces around him. Tomlin was younger and actually winning playoff games. You have to be able to start on the ground before you start on the fifth level, the fifth floor right now. I mean, they're looking at the very top. They're looking at the penthouse when right now they should be okay with an apartment on the second floor.
I will say players, as they head into a season, they should set their sights very high.
They
right?
should.
You don't want to settle for being mediocre or slightly better than that. If you're a player who's been around for 5-7 years, you desperately want to get a playoff win, and then you just want to keep stacking. You're not just going to say, well, we got one playoff win. That's all that we've really needed. But for the players to set that goal, that's one thing. For someone from the outside to say it's Super Bowl or bust, I just don't think that's realistic.
So, one texter says, Austin, so in love with Baltimore. They're 3-8 against the Steelers in the last 11. That's against the likes of Pickett, Trubisky, and Russell Wilson. In division is in division. Quit acting like Baltimore is Kansas City. I did mention that the Steelers have owned the Ravens over the last 5 years. That is very true. But it's also a what have you done for me lately league, and what have you done in the last two games against Baltimore, especially, and the playoffs are supposed to matter more than the regular season, right? And they got their lunch handed to them. So there is some concern because Baltimore does have a better roster than them. And I feel like Lamar Jackson has kind of figured out the defense. That was always the big thing. They just crushed Lamar. Great with the pass rush. Great with disguising things against Lamar. He would throw interceptions. He would not be himself. Lamar would not be himself against the Steelers. He'd miss throws. Remember the Mark Andrews two-point conversion that he missed, that throw? Lamar has always struggled against the Steelers. But in those last two games, it seemed like he found an extra gear. And that is something that should be a little bit concerning moving forward. So Super Bowl or bust, how about you try to win the division and have a home playoff game? Then we'll talk. 93.7 The Fan, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, as well as WAMO 107.3. Are partnering to support Pittsburgh public school students for the school year by providing stuffed backpacks for the Pittsburgh for PPS Backpack Drive presented by Target Freight Management. You can support by purchasing backpacks or dropping off at a location near you, including Piata Italian Street Food in Robinson, as well as Northway Mall. For details, Visit 937thefan.com to drop off your donation. Brought to you by GBU Life, life insurance, annuities, and member benefits since 1892. Also, you can listen to the Pop and Joe Show on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And make sure to check out Breaking Bread, Jack Hillgrove, on the newest edition of Breaking Bread, presented by Saloni's Italian Bread. Sat down with Bill Hillgrove, his grandfather. You can watch it on the 937 The Fan YouTube page. Jack went to Gian Ellis in Greensburg to chat with Billy, as Billy talked about his long career as a broadcaster. And in a special segment found on Saloni's Instagram page, Bill reveals the former partner with whom he would like to be stranded on an island with. Who do you think that would be? Do you think Pat Bostick would rank high on that list?
I think the answer is Dick Groat. That would be my guess. Yeah, I haven't tuned in yet. And I will say the way it's phrased is a little weird because I don't think anyone wants to be stranded on an island. Maybe that's the best option to be with, but I don't think you're actively rooting to be stranded on an island. Well, maybe some
Nobody
people
is. Are. If you were actively rooting to be stranded on an island,
Ron
who would
Cook,
you...
that might be up his alley.
I think Ron would thrive on a deserted island because as long as there is just beer flowing and food out there, maybe they'll plant a Domenico's on the deserted island. That's all he would need, Sean. That's all the life that Ron would have to live. Sean.
Austin.
The people can call now to win 4 tickets to the Pony League World Series at Lou Hayes Pony Field from August 8th to the 13th. Sean will pick up your information. Caller number 6 to our dear friend Sean Myers at 412-928-9370 wins the Pony League World Series tickets. Really fun event. I was there for 2 years working the event when I was in college at Waynesburg. So make sure to check that out. Up next, Austin's limitless list. The 7 Steelers I'm most keeping my eye on in training camp as it starts with the first day of practice tomorrow. Also, Tyler Kennedy will join us at the top of the hour. Dan Zangrilli, Mark Cabali, and Jeff Hathorn in the final jam-packed, loaded hour of Steelers talk, and Zangrilli from down at the ballpark will get a trade deadline discussion going with Dan, what Dan is currently hearing, and the newest Mitch Keller rumor that has dropped. And your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Sean has a headline, and we're right back on the Fan.